The scripture reading will be from Luke chapter 13, verse 3. I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish.
All right, good to see everyone. Find a Bible, please. Acts 2:38 is where we're going to begin tonight. That's where we're going to be going. Lots of Bible, of course. That's the beginning point tonight. Find the Word of God. Just delightful to be here once again. Had a good afternoon. Trust everyone did have a good Lord's Day afternoon. A lot of good things going on here. It's great to be a part of that. I think we need to remember to be thankful for that. Thankful for the local body of Christ that labors here. And I know that you're well aware of that and the blessings that we have in Christ here. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. Peter said to them, repent. Each one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you have any interest at all in becoming a disciple of Christ, if you have any interest at all in becoming a Christian, that verse and being saved, that verse is vital to you. The reason is because this is the first time that the gospel of Jesus Christ was ever preached. And this is it. Acts chapter 2, verse 38. The first time that we're told how to be Christians. The first time that we're told how that we can be saved. How that we can be right with God. Acts chapter 2, verse 38 is a crucial verse. Peter tells people exactly that this is how you begin. This is how you begin your walk with the Lord. This is how you become forgiven of your sins. Peter has built, during this sermon in Acts chapter 2, this is, of course, peak at 38. So what he does during Acts chapter 2, in the course of his lesson, is he builds up trust, he builds up faith, he builds up belief in that Jesus Christ is the Messiah. So what now? What do we do next? The reaction that they have in verse 37 of what must we do is because of what Peter preached prior to those verses. He preached the gospel of Christ. Jesus was the Messiah. Everything that he did proved he was the Messiah. You killed the Son of God. Alright? Upon that sermon, those that were there, those that heard that, they believed that. They believed that Jesus was Christ. I said, not too long ago, on the sermon, I don't know how long ago it was, that I am a very orderly guy when it comes to the Word of God. Nothing else, and you can ask her about not being orderly, I'm not. But when it comes to this, I like step-by-step instructions. Now here it is. Step one, believe. Step one, you must believe. You look at that, I recognize that, and well, what else? What else could be there? Step two, well, Peter says once that happens, then repentance is necessary. We're going to see how that works. We're going to look at this evening briefly. We're going to look at repentance. I want to know what the Bible says. Now, I know that you can ask anybody, and there's a thousand and one ways that you can be saved. There's a thousand and one ways. My church does this. They say that. We do this. And I'm not interested in that. What says the Scripture is what I'm interested in, and only what says the Scripture. And really, so it doesn't come any surprise that Peter talks about repentance. Repentance prophesied in the Old Testament. That repentance was necessary. That there would be a day come that we would have to turn from our sins. Repent of our sins. John the Baptist came preaching that. Jesus included that in his mission statement in the book of Acts. And all the preaching that follows, repentance was repentance was in. Alright, necessary. Repentance was free. And so I look at all those examples, see the prophecy, here's the teaching. Guess what? Repentance is necessary. Alright, repentance matters. But when you think about it, what exactly is it? We talked a little bit about it this morning, but how do you repent? What does it look like? You know, repentance is not a term that's used a whole lot today. You don't turn on CNN or Fox News and you hear Congressman Jones is going to repent of stealing funds and committing adultery. You just don't hear that from any of the talking heads on TV or that's not going to happen. That story about the Hollywood star, you know, he's going to come on one of the news channels and say, I want to repent of the profanity that I used and the immodest apparel that I wore in the last movie. You don't, That doesn't happen. But you and I, if we are going to be serious about following the Lord, we must know what repentance is. And we must, and if we're going to be involved in Acts 2:38 any way at all, we must understand and recognize, we must thoroughly get repentance. Now to do that, I want to use a text that Peter used. Turn back to Joel. In his sermon, Joel chapter 2. Alright, I'm going to build on that, work on that, to help us understand exactly what repentance is. Now, of course, Peter does refer to the prophet Joel. Excuse me. He says, this is that. This is that that was prophesied by Joel. He says that in Acts 2. Now, from the text, from what he was preaching, Acts 2, alright, in the middle of that, Joel tells us how to repent. Look at verse 12. Joel chapter 2, verse 12. He says, yet now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, and with fasting, weeping, and mourning, and rend your heart, and not your garment. Now return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in loving kindness, he says, and relenting of evil. How to become a Christian? Step one, faith in Christ. Step two, repent. And that's exactly what the text is telling us to do. Now, as you look at that, you look at the time frame of repentance. How long does it take you to repent? You think about that, days, weeks, months. If you look at what Joel's saying, do you see it there, verse 12? Even now, right now, there's a sense of urgency in the prophet Joel, as well as what Peter says, as well as every example I've seen in the scripture. Listen, you want to repent? There's a sense of urgency. You do it right now. Joel says that repenting is right now, even now. The time for repentance is never later. I won't pick something down the road. Hey, I know I got this thing going on, but you know, I'm going to take care of it later. All right? That's not the idea you get there. You see that in any of that? I don't see it in any of that. Acts chapter 24. We'll be coming back to Joel. But look at Acts 24. The Bible shows us. Here Paul is preaching to Felix. All right, look at verse 25. Acts 24, verse 25. Paul reasoned with Felix about righteousness, self-control, and the coming of judgment. You know what that's about? That's about how Felix was living his life. You've not exercised self-control. You've made bad decisions. You need to change that. You need to do that differently. And if you don't, there's judgment coming to you. That's what Paul's preaching to Felix. But look what he says. After that preaching, and basically what that is repentance, but Felix was alarmed. He said, go away for the present when I get an opportunity. I'll son you. That now thing? No. No. Felix wasn't into that now, right now. He couldn't take that. That's not what he wanted. He wouldn't do that. Like so many of us today, when it comes to changing our life, when it comes to changing the way we live, the way we think about things, the things that we do, you know what? We don't want to. We don't want to stop living the way we're living. We don't want to stop thinking the way we're thinking. Certainly, somewhere down the road, I'm going to change, but not right now. And that's what you got with Felix. And you know, I say, people want to say this. Right now is the only thing we got for certain. I'm telling you, right now is the only time that you have for certain. You know, when we talk to people about this, sometimes when we talk about this kind of thing, you know, the next thing we start talking about, preachers do it all the time. I try to stay away from it. You know, sudden death, sudden tragedy. Tragedies happen in cars, in bars, in hunting, in fishing, in working. You know, stuff happens. It happens all the time, and you just never know. Something terrible is going to happen to you. So you need to get better, you need to get right with God right now. We hear that a lot. But I want you to think about something else. There's a whole lot more to this thing than just getting hit by a bus. A whole lot more when I look at it. We need to think about, when it comes to repentance, our heart, and you be softened. And you be softened up, all of our hearts. Right now. And because we're in the right position to do that right now. In Isaiah, turn to the prophet Isaiah. And of course, we need to repent now, of course, is the theme, is what I've been saying, but when do we need to repent? Isaiah 55, verse said, the prophet Isaiah, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, I don't know everything about getting lost, but there's a dimension to what the prophet Isaiah is saying. As you look at the passage, it might be such a thing that, you know what, you could be seeking the Lord and you're not going to find him. Now that might be a shock to you. Well, I'm going to find the Lord every time I seek him. I know he'll always be there, but I get the feeling, the idea from Isaiah that maybe I can seek the Lord and not find him. So the purpose, the point behind that is, if you're seeking the Lord, you better do it now. You'll see that again from Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 6. Notice what the writer says. Verse 5. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 5. He says, and then, having fallen away, it is impossible to renew them again to repent, since they again crucified themselves, the Son of God, and put him to an open shame. He says that, but they tasted the good word, verse 5, the word of God, the power of the age to come, all that goes, you know, we stress sometimes that God will always accept us. Don't we? I will say that. You can come now. I'll guarantee you, God will accept you as you are. You repent of your sin. You can become a Christian. You can be forgiven of the sins you're in. I guarantee you that. And we stress that, don't we? And we talk about God's door is never closed. The door of repentance is never closed. We talk about that sort of thing. But you know what? Sometimes when I read these scriptures, I'm afraid that that sort of thinking that one of these days, that whenever I get around to it, it'll be fine. You know what? It might not be fine. Because there may come a time in your life when you can't. And you don't want to. Because you're so steeped in sin and what you're involved in your life. And you've let these kind of opportunities that you have right now pass over, pass over, pass over, pass over. And you know what? Don't count on it. Don't count on it, Isaiah says, or the Hebrew writer says, because there might come a time when you don't want to repent. You don't want anything to do with it. You're done with it. And I think that's what they're saying. So when is the time to repent? It's right now. While you're thinking about it, as the Lord draws you through His Word to repent, that's what they're talking about. When your heart is still soft. Because there's no guarantee that tomorrow your heart might be so hard that the words of God won't penetrate that. Are you still interested in being a follower of Jesus Christ? Right now is the time to repent. Don't squander the chance. Which means every one of us tonight needs to check the darkest corners of our heart right now with the sin that's in our life that we think it's okay now and you just really don't want to face it right now. You don't want to fool with it somehow right now. But someday down the road, you're going to take care of the problem you've got right now. Each and every one of us needs to check that out and be brutally honest with our lives and with the things that you're dealing with that you think that one day you'll deal with later. Because the truth is, you might not get a later, number one, and then when you do get a later and an opportunity, your heart will be so hard you won't even recognize how deep you are in it to get out of it. What we need to hear is the call from Joel 2. When you repent now, even now, Joel says. Even now. That's what repentance is all about. And so when you look at Joel 2 and what's going on there right now, and as we do that, you know, I'm going to come back to Joel. Let's look at verse 12 again. Yet even now, declares the Lord, return to me. What is the repentance thing? Well, repentance is the turning from sin, turning to God. Even now, turn to me. All right? Joel emphasizes that fact. Verse 13, return to the Lord your God. Repentance, in essence, is a turning. We all know that. Without stacking all kinds of lexicons and dictionaries up, we know what that is. It's an original term that means that you make a 180-degree turn from where you're at. That's what repenting means. And you can think about that. You go from this direction, now you're going that direction. That's the term that you have. It's flipping it around, going completely in another direction. And a big part of that, of course, is, a big part of that is that we're going to stop sinning. I used to live this way. I used to think this way. I want to do this way. I'm not going to do that anymore. All right? That's the part that we're preaching. We turn to God. Sometimes we hear that sinning means that you're going to stop sin, or repenting is that you're going to stop sinning. Well, that's stop right now. That's all that is. It's a stop. Now, can people repent and can people stop sinning without repenting? Just think about that. Can I stop sinning simply because I repent? You know what? There's people that are in the penitentiary that got put there for stealing, and they're not repenting. But they stopped stealing. They're in the pen. They're not going to steal anymore. Did they repent of what they did? No. And you know, I think about Judas Iscariot was very sorry that he betrayed the Lord, gave the money back, and he repented. No. Judas never repented. The problem here is that there's been failure in the repentance. Think about what they did not do. They did not turn to God. You know, the repentant person comes to God. And how do you do that? Well, our text, Joel chapter 2, verse 12, return to me with all of your heart. Verse 13 says, rend your heart. Rend means to tear. Now, a sign of sorrow in that culture was to tear your garments. All right? No, don't tear your garments, he says. Be sorrowful. Rend your heart, he says. Not your garments. Now, this does not mean that there will not be a visible sign, a visible, I can see, repentance. That's not what I'm going to talk about that in just a little bit. We'll get to that in a moment. But there is outward signs of repentance. We recognize that. But repentance is primarily, it is primarily concerned about our understanding of sin. It's our understanding of God and what sin is, and that our need to return from our sin and turn to God. That's what repentance is. Now, maybe the issue here is that we have trouble with the word sin itself. Now, how many times have you heard someone say the word sin in New Testament Greek is missing the mark? That's what sin is. Missing the mark. We talked about that sin. What's sin? Missing the mark. That's the reaction we're going to get into. That's true. That's a definition of sin. Missing the mark. But by the time the New Testament was written, I want to tell you that sin meant sin. Nobody talks about adultery, fornication, and said, well, we missed the mark there. No, they recognize sin as sin, not missing the mark. Sometimes we borrow those kind of words and we start thinking about missing the mark. And then it begins to sound like a little bit about, now God's mark is right down there. It says this big around, 100 yards away. I'm going to shoot the big arrow. Whoops, I missed it by 2 inches. Well, I was close though. Almost got 100, but I only got 85. I was close. Almost hit the mark, but I didn't hit the mark. So I barely missed the mark, but it's okay. I'm going to try again. I didn't get 100. Give me another arrow. I'm going to pull back and shoot again. I'm almost got it. What's up? Okay. And we get that idea. You'll never find that in Scripture. You will never find that kind of idea about sin. All right? In the Bible, in Joel 2, sin is a violation of God's law. It is willful selfishness. I'm going to do what I want to do no matter what God says. That's what it is. It's a violation of God's holiness, His law. It is iniquity. It is lawlessness. It is wickedness. It is inexcusable, without excuse. It's sin. It's not, oh, I almost got it. No. That's not what sin is. That's you and me. When we do what we want. That's what sin is, instead of what God tells us to do. In short, sin is not a matter of, ah, big deal. I missed it. I'll get it again next time. Miss it by an inch or so. You know, if you want an archery metaphor, sin is this. I just shoot you. That's sin. Or shot my foot. That's sin. That's bullseye. That's sin. Dead on. That's what sin's about. Well, that's a rebellion. That's what it is. Now, a huge part of that, of repentance, is that understanding. It's that understanding exactly what sin is. And for me to realize that my sin, it's not trivial. It's not something that almost got right. It's none of those things. It's not a mistake. It's not something I blame you for. It's not something I blame my parents for. It's not something I blame my situation for. No, no. We are turning from sin because we recognize sin to be wrong. That's repentance. We're turning to God. And you know what? In all of that, it's God that's going to forgive. God's the one that's going to forgive. We're turning from sin. We're stepping down from doing wrong. because it is against God, and we want to return to God. We're turning to Him. What are we doing? We're begging Him for mercy, for grace, for forgiveness. You want to hear that? You want to hear people doing that? Verse 37, Acts chapter 2, the preaching of God. These folks were cut to the heart. When they had heard what they had done, the sin that they had committed. You want to hear? They cried out. Cut to the heart. Cried out. Brethren, what shall we do? Could there be a better expression of people rending their hearts than right there in Acts chapter 2? Turning to God with all of their heart about their sin. That does, you know, you look at that. Go back to Joel. Turn to me. What did he say? Turn to me even now, Joel says. Turn to me with all your heart. With fasting, weeping, and mourning. Rend your heart. Not your God. Well, now I want to be very clear. Sorrow is not repentance. Sorrow is not repentance. Being really sorry is not the same as repenting. It just is. You know, anytime somebody acts up in American culture, the popularity goes down the polls, or the numbers go down the polls, or the book sales go down, or the movie sales go down, or their ability to get elected, what do? Well, they go on TV, and they go on a talk show, and they tell about all these terrible things that they've done. They tell about maybe their upbringing. They tell about that, or the media just misunderstood me, and this and that, and they tell all this stuff, and then their lips start to tremble a little bit, and they dab their eye, and then everything's okay. Because they're sorry. And we buy it. We buy that. That's what American culture does. Sorrow is not repentance. If sorrow was repentance, Jesus repented 1,000 times. Alright? Sorrow by itself is not repentance, it is a part of. That's what Paul says about 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8. He says, "For though I caused you to sorrow by my letter, I do not regret it, though I did regret it, for I see that the letter caused you sorrow, though only for a while. I now rejoice not that you are made sorrowful, but that you were made sorrowful to the point of repentance. For you were made sorrowful according to the will of God, so that you might not suffer loss in anything through us. For the sorrow that is according to the will of God produces a repentance without regret, leading to salvation, but the sorrow of the world," Paul says, "that produces death." There's a time to be cheerful. But I'll tell you what, there's a time for repentance. And that repentance will be a time for grief. It will be a time for sorrow. I'm terrified in some way that a lot of us, we become too sophisticated for sorrow in our society and in our church. We're just a little bit above that sorrow level that we just read about. We're so adept to our sins. We're so adept to glossing over our lies. We're so adept to glossing over our sins and blaming others for our sins that we no longer see tear stained cheeks, bowed heads, and someone who is ready to submit to God because they've rent their heart to God. They'll see that, do they? They'll see that too much. I'm not inclined to dictate your emotional response to sin. None of us. That's not what I do. All of us have different emotional makeup. All of us respond differently to different situations. That's not what I'm preaching. But I'll tell you what Paul is pressing here. Joel is pressing here. That you understand what sin is. And that you understand that when you're involved in sin, and that you are unrepentant, and that you've decided to live the way you've lived, but then you decide not to, that turning away from God or turning back to God and crying out for His mercy, I'll tell you what, there's going to be a reaction in you that runs through and through that goes to the very deepest part of your soul. And I'm afraid a lot of us have numbed that out. We don't do that. We don't want to go there. Because going there means that I've got to face that. the reality of that as a condition that I'm in. I'd rather tear my garment. I'd rather rip off my shirt than rip up this little old heart. Well, pretty clear about repentance that as you look at that, go in verse 13, there's a key importance there. There's something important that I want you to look at. It's really, you know why it's important? It's because God is what? What's it say? God is gracious. God is gracious and kind. That's vital. That's vital. Maybe one of the reasons we emphasize baptism so much, you know why? Because that's what we do. We do that. That's our side of things, if you will. You know, sometimes we urge people to do it. You need to obey the gospel. You need to be baptized. We need to remember baptism. You know, we need to do this. And it's our part of it. This is what you do. I'm going to do this for you. And when you come up out of the water, you're going to be saved. Obey God. All your sins are forgiven. You know what? You know the baptism would have no meaning at all unless God gave it meaning. Think about that. You know, if God did not make it so, baptism wouldn't mean a thing. Can you imagine somebody, hey, I'm ready to do it. I've repented. I want to obey the gospel. Baptize me to release my sins. And you do it, and you come up out of this. God, you owe me. I did exactly what you said. You owe me. I did it just the way you said. You owe me. You have to forgive me. Folks, you cannot force God's hand just because it got wet. That's not what this is about. Think about that. What if you poured your heart out and rendered it to God, sorrow for your sins, you turned to God, you begged God for mercy, you did all of those things, God says, no, don't want you. Not going to do it. Don't care what you do. Well, wait a minute. I want to serve you. I want to turn to you. If the Lord said no, you could repent all day till doomsday. I'll tell you what that'd be. That would be a doomsday for you if the Lord didn't receive you and accept your repentance and accept your obedience. So as we work with repentance, as we think about salvation, we want to always remember. So, God's the one who came looking for us. God did what He did for us. No other way around. God is doing the saving. We're not saving ourselves. What God's done. God's doing the acting. He's the one that's saving. He's the one that's gracious. He's the one that's merciful. He's the one that sees to it that our sins are forgiven because He's made it that way. It is God who's saving us, and He'll save us if we turn to Him. If we do repent. That's what Joel said. And when I look at Acts 2, I see those people crying out, brethren, what shall we do? They are so overjoyed that Peter says, this is what you do. They're so overjoyed with repentance. They didn't argue when Peter said, hey, you need to repent. They didn't say, well, you're going to tarnish my self-esteem. You're going to tarnish my self-esteem. They were thrilled that Jesus Christ gave them the opportunity to be forgiven. You know, I think about that. In your meditation and prayer to God, have you ever been left in awe that God gives you the ability to repent and give you another chance? Time and time again. Have you ever thanked Him for that? Or you just think He's going to do it every time? You just think this is the way it is. He put it out there. I'm going to milk it for all His word. Is that the spirit? Is that the attitude that you read about in John? That you read about in Acts 2? Do we glorify Him for that? Do you ever really just thank Him for it? Deep down, cut in the heart, thank God for your salvation that's in Christ Jesus. That's what I want to do next. I don't want to rush there. But you know what? In Acts chapter 2, verse 38, after they repented, they were baptized in water for the forgiveness of their sins. That was the first gospel sermon ever preached. I know that there's people in this audience, please get your phone book, that have never done that, that believe that Jesus is the Christ, but have never obeyed the gospel of Christ and never put on Christ. in baptism. I pray this hour is the hour that you respond to the gospel of Christ, because the next hour, your heart may be so hard, Isaiah says, you may not want to, and forever be lost. The time to repent is right now. Right now. Please come. As together we stand and sing.